certainly am thankful for the prayer and the humility in which I felt it was presented to the Lord. We know that comes from the Lord as well. The words come from the Lord. The spirit in which we pray comes from the Lord. Without Him, we cannot pray even as we ought to. We're dependent upon the Lord this morning. What a great God we have to depend upon. See, I'm very much in need of your prayers, ongoing prayers, as I stand before you this morning. So please pray for me. Did want to mention, too, that we did fail to mention in prayer. Sister Priest comes to mind and Sister Ashby. We know the Lord knows all of them. And we sometimes fail to mention them before the congregation. But the Lord knows each and every one. Those two dear ones I know would want to be remembered here today as well. And I'm sure there are others. In the Acts of the Apostles, I'd like to read to you this morning from chapter 12. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. We'll begin reading right at verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. I have really enjoyed my efforts in studying this passage of Scripture. Pray the Lord would just bless us with liberty to be able to speak to you from that which He's given us in His Word. We know we're dependent upon the Lord as much as we may have enjoyed our own personal study of a particular passage. We depend upon the Lord to give us the wisdom and the liberty to be able to share with the Lord's people those wonderful truths that are found in God's Word. And I always want you to understand I'm trusting in the Lord this morning, leaning upon the Lord. And when I'm not, you need to pray for me, that I would understand that I can't do anything without the Lord and that we indeed need the Lord. We want to make sure the congregation we speak to understands that as well, so that you'd be praying that we don't have the ability in ourselves to feed ourselves. We don't have any man on this earth that has the ability in himself to feed us, except the Lord Jesus Christ, supply what we need. Give us, dear Lord, this day our daily bread, that's both natural and spiritual, and we need Him to do that and give it to us this morning. And if we get it from Him, we certainly shouldn't take credit for it ourselves, but we should acknowledge Him in all that we do and are able to do. Acts chapter 12 at verse 1, it says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." And this is Herod Agrippa. He's the king here that was a grandson to the Herod that slew all the infants at Bethlehem. His father was the one that was responsible for the beheading of John the Baptist. And so he's going about walking in the characteristics of his family. Which, by the way, unless the Lord intervenes on our behalf, all of us will also produce the things that we've learned and been taught by nature. And according to nature, there's none good, no, not one. There's not one of us who could fix ourselves or correct ourselves. And what we would produce in our lives would be just as bad and as evil as any other man except for the grace of God. And Herod here was the king that stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And that is, to vex them is not just to irritate them or make them angry, but he wanted to harm them in every way that he could. He would like to have destroyed them. If it had been possible, he would have destroyed them. He hated the church. He hated the things of the Lord. He did not love the truth that was being proclaimed there. He did not love the light that was being shined forth from the church. And the very fact that they knew that there was a church gives evidence that those in the church were proclaiming the wonderful name of Jesus. You see, if you don't talk about the Lord and you don't walk in the promises of the Lord and you don't share the truth with others, we don't let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, then we won't be as a city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. We won't be the salt that is a preservative to the nation and the people around us. We'll be like the salt that has no savor or that has lost its savor, and we'll be a light that really is hid under a bushel. I believe in the church today. In the Lord's church. I believe this to be a part of the Lord's church. I believe this is to be it is a local assembly that the Lord has given us here, that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our duty and our responsibility to share the gospel, to share it and declare it, and to share it with others of the Lord's people. The ministry is to preach it wherever the Lord sends them and leads them, and we're to share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that message will cause some people to be happy and glad. They will love it. They will hear it. God will give them and has given them, if they have been given, if they love it, it is because the Lord has given them an eye to see it and an ear to hear it and a heart to understand it. God has made them alive. And when they hear that message of the gospel, they love it because God has given them an appetite for it, and it reaches a place in their heart that is an emptiness that only the gospel and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ can feel and cause them to have that joy and that deliverance in a timely sense in the gospel and knowing the truth. But just as sure as there are some who love the truth that we declare and hold to, if we declare it, there will also be those who hate it. As those hated the Lord, they will hate the Lord's people that declare the things of God. And I say then, believe that we'd have far more persecution today, even in Front Royal, even among our churches around us, if we were better known and better heard and louder and our light was shining brighter. And the Acts of the Apostles, as those apostles went declaring the truth, they went not only to those who agreed with them, but they went sharing that truth at times in places. Now again, as the Lord led them, they didn't just go anywhere on their own anytime. They went as the Lord led them. But as the Lord led them, there were times they went before men that did not love. They were not all pricked in the heart by the gospel. There were some that were cut to the heart. There were some who got angry. There were some who lost their lives. There were some whose lives were snuffed out and taken, not outside of the will of God, but even in the will of God as they preached the gospel. God suffered them to be martyrs for the cause of Christ. And as a martyr, they served to encourage others of God's children while they were still here in this world. Now some would think, boy, that's a horrible thing that God would allow someone to be a martyr. Listen, it is better to go home to be with the Lord, no matter how you go. It is always for the little child of God better to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord than to live here in this world. Now, we are to live here in this world as long as the Lord would give us life. And as He gives us life and He leads us and directs us in this world, there'll be hills, there'll be valleys, there'll be times we'll feel His manifest presence so bright and wonderful. There'll be some dark days, there'll be some difficult times. We will suffer afflictions, we'll have peril and sword and nakedness and all the things Romans 8 tells is going to come. And even as God's little children, when we stand for the truth, they said like lambs led to the slaughter, that we would be also like sheep led to the slaughter under the persecution that could and may come. Now it seems kind of hard for us because in America we have been greatly blessed. I hope we understand that. To be able to meet as we have over the period of my lifetime, I never remember a time I was going to a meeting wondering if some sheriff or some civil authority was going to come in and lock up our ministers while they were preaching the gospel, or whether we would stand in any danger of being persecuted or stoned or beaten or any of those things. In America, we have been greatly blessed with a wonderful liberty. It's not been so, and is not so today around the world. What we're preaching right now, if the Lord will lead us to go to some other nation where they hate these things, they hate the name of Christ, they hate the light that He is, they do not love it, they would in a moment snuff out anyone just for carrying a Bible in their hand, and we can carry them and sometimes we don't, and shame on us, because the Lord has given us a great blessing and a great privilege to be able to have this word so available and to be able to read it. This is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto our path. It is that which the Lord has given us to guide us and direct us in our families and in our homes. homes, and we have it so available, and it's there for us that God has, by His providence, has allowed it to be there. And this is something that the God's little children have lost their lives over, and more importantly, even at a greater cost, Jesus Christ Himself died on the tree of the cross that we might have life eternally. But also that we would have this great liberty. It's come by the cross. Every blessing has come by the cross. There is not any blessing that you and I have in this world that did not come because of the... the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not any blessing. Everything we have is because Jesus loved us enough to die for us. And the river of His love is flowing today because He has opened up that access. And we have His great blessing that He supplied upon us. But we never know when things may change, when our earth could be removed in the sense that it's shaken, when the mountains, the powers that be that protect us might fall and they be removed. We know this, we don't have to fear because God is our refuge. And when we trust in Him and we look to Him, He will make a way, prepare even a table before us in the presence of our enemies, even make a way for us in the wilderness, in this world. And here the church at Jerusalem, they were persecuted and they were being vexed by Herod the king. And he came forth his hands to vex or harm certain of the church. And he killed James. James, the brother of John, James, the son of Zebedee, his life was taken. And brother James, from his standpoint, he got to leave this whole world. The worst Herod could do is take his life. And oh, isn't it a wonderful blessing that we can read about a brother who loved the Lord because God first loved him and stood strong and firm in the faith, even so much that his life was snuffed out. And Jesus said, "Blessed when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He was killed for the name and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, if we had heard about that as one of our ministers, it would have broken our hearts and caused us great fear, would it not? And certainly it did to this church at Jerusalem. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, Herod, he's one of those politicians that's really a politician. He wasn't convicted to believe that this was so wrong. He just said, "Look, and when I did this, it pleased the Jews." Because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. He wasn't saying, "Because it's the right thing to do, I'm going to take Peter also." He didn't say, "Because this is what I believe, that he needs to be stamped out." He said, it pleased the Jews. He was looking to please those that were under him so that he might be held in some esteem. Of course, that came back later, as you read on in this Acts of the Apostles, that headiness and that high-mindedness. You know, sometimes we wonder how men can get away with it and go on in it over and over again and seem like nothing ever comes to any harm. Believe me from the Word of God, what it says, whatsoever a man shall sow, so shall he also reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And when a man puffs himself up, he is sure for a fall. And that's true of a Herod. It's true of me. It's true of you. It's true of the president of this United States or any man in any other nation. Sometimes we wonder, how is it that someone can stand and be so bold and arrogant in the face of Almighty God? Listen, they will do that maybe for a season while the Lord suffers it to be, but there will be an account made. It'll either be made here or over there. There will be an account unto God. They will give an account. And he says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. The Passover was at hand, and they took Peter, and instead of taking his life because the Passover was at hand, they apprehended him, and he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. And so we got one preacher of the gospel. Now, Peter must have been a tremendous soldier and a real powerful man. Remember, Peter was the one who drew that sword out to protect Jesus and cut off the ear of the one Roman soldier. He could really handle a sword well. When he swung his sword, he was so vicious he cut the ear off of the one. And the Lord told him, "This is not what I've called you to be a soldier." Peter was powerful, but he was powerful in that the Spirit of Almighty God was upon him. When we read about the preaching of Brother Peter in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, as he preached in power and in demonstration of the Spirit, and when he went preaching among these brethren here in Jerusalem, he stirred up a lot of people. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he pointed out that Jesus' life had been taken. And he pointed out that you Jews with guilty hands have taken Him and slain Him. And it wasn't, brethren, just the Jews who did that. Listen, it was me and you who did that also as well. Because it was our sins that nailed Him to the tree of the cross. Who was guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Jews were used in that sense. The Romans were used in that sense. But the reason that He really died was because He loved me, if I'm one of His, and you, if you're one of His, He loved us. And that's why Jesus died, is because He loved us. But those men that did not have an ear and an eye and a heart to understand the things spiritually of God, rather than loving what they heard and being pricked in the heart and saying, crying out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted them killed. When they heard James was gone, they said, "Good, go get some more." And when that politician heard it pleased the people, he said, "I'm going to go get him." And he went and put him in prison. And there Peter, he said, "We got to keep him there." Because if you read over in Acts 5, they put Peter in prison before. But he wasn't in prison. You know what happened? The angel of the Lord showed up and took him out of the prison. You know, isn't that wonderful? We have a God who can take you out of the trouble men put you in. And He doesn't have any trouble doing it. That is why God should be our refuge. That is why the Apostle Paul said, "I was pressed out of measure. And I was even above strength. And I was even at the point that I had the sentence of death in myself. And the reason that I had that is that I might trust in God. That I might trust not in men, but in God who can raise the dead." Brethren, what we're preaching today is that you and I and our dependence upon our freedom and our ability to meet here as a church and worship the Lord, we're dependent upon the Lord. He is ultimate our protection. He is the one who has taken care of the church in Jerusalem when they were under great persecution. He is also the one who's allowed us the liberty that we've had in our nation. And as we continue to look to Him, I absolutely believe this morning, I believe He will take care of us. He will take care of us as a church. He will take care of us as individuals. And I surely don't want to trust in me who have the sentence of death in myself, or in all of us together who to collectively have the sentence of death in ourselves. That means we have no way of helping ourselves. But let's trust in the Lord who can, listen, He can raise the dead. No case too hard. And here, as they trusted in the Lord, it says, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions." That's four group of four soldiers. That's 16 soldiers that they put him under. They wanted to make sure that old boy didn't get out of there this time. We got an eye on him. And they had him there to keep him. Their charge was to keep him intending after Easter, and that word is Passover, to bring him forth to the people. After the days of the unleavened bread, the intent was, after that time passed, we're going to bring him out and just I'm going to gain some more popularity by taking out one of these, just like I had done with James. Herod's mind was, I'm going to take out another one of these who are preaching and teaching in the name of Christ. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. And I love this. It says, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Brethren, we take a lot of time here and have seen among the old Baptist brethren them take a lot of time mentioning the different ones to pray for. That's important. It's important we're praying for one another in our churches. It's important that not only do we pray for them while we're meeting here, but as we leave, we go out praying. We continue to pray for one another. You continue to pray for me as I walk in the course of my life. I want to continue to pray. It's been a great blessing for me to find the benefits of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, we need more of them. We need times where we're truly praying for the Lord's people. And as James said in James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In this case, we see that true and we see it in our lives. I've seen the evidence of it. I heard it in the voice of Brother Barney the other day when he was talking to me. And I don't know what his case is going to be, but the last time I talked to him, in my mind, I thought he'd probably never stand again in a pulpit. And I know this weekend, at least it was his hopes, his desire to travel all the way from where he was down to Newport News. I'm telling you, Brother Barney didn't have that strength. The doctors didn't have that ability. It's only by the grace of God that he has one more time. And sometimes we wonder, well, what does that mean for the rest of our lives? Well, I don't know. Today may be the rest of our lives. The Bible says, take no thought for the morrow. It tells us sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It tells us like that old hymn says, take it one day at a time. Really, it's hour by hour and moment by moment. And when my brethren are in trouble, I want to be praying for them. And when I'm in trouble, I need you to pray for me. And the church, one of the callings, this church is a house of prayer. He came there to the temple and he said, "This you've made this a den of thieves. And this is a house of prayer." That was under the old law service. Listen, the New Testament church, one of the things we're to be involved in is praying. Preaching and singing, those things are important, and we need all of them. We come not only to preach and to sing, but we come to pray. And here the church was praying, and they prayed without ceasing. And they were praying unto God, and listen, the God who was their refuge. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. And I think about that. You know, sleep can be hard to have sometimes. You ever had a hard time sleeping? You ever been worried about things and couldn't sleep? You ever been just troubled? Listen, I've had dreams that trouble me. I've had situations that trouble me. I've had hours that I just tried to sleep, couldn't sleep, worried about this. But Brother Peter, you know, he knows James is gone. He knows his life is taken. He knows I'm in prison. He knows there are 16 soldiers watching me. He knows that I'm here chained between two of them. I've got chains on me. And I'm bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. He had two wards. And those word wards really mean watches. There are two groups that are watching him. He was in the dark. He was in the prison. And what is he doing? Sleeping. He's sleeping. I love that verse that tells us over there about the keeping the house, and except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Over in the writings of the psalmist in Psalm 127, verse 2 tells me something that I need to read and I need to put more in application in my life. I've already told you I spend too many hours not sleeping, worrying about things that I cannot change. And the Bible tells me that. Isn't it wonderful to know? I read a letter from a little sister that was written to Thumb Run Church. It was read in the congregation over there of a little sister who's in the nursing home. You go visit her, she'll be appreciative that you're an old Baptist visiting her, but she won't be able to remember what your name was and won't be able to recall it. She said she was so thankful to have the elders come and visit her, whatever the name was, and she was glad they came because it reminded her again of the sweet old things that she had enjoyed and had over the course of her life. And she said, and I've been reading a book that tells me not to worry, and it shows me places in the Bible that it tells me not to worry, and I've been using that. And she says it's been a great help to me that I'm not worrying near as much. The Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early to sit up late. Any of you guilty of rising up early and sitting up late? He says, to eat the bread of sorrows. To eat the bread, that means to be so full of sorrows, to be sad. Sad about what? Sad about circumstances. If anybody had reason to be sad, it seemed like Brother Peter would have the reason to be sad. I'm preaching the gospel, telling the truth, and what did it get me? I'm locked up here in jail. I've been here before, but I got out, but I'm really in a fix this time. They got more than one guarding me. They got me in chains. I got two of them right by me, sleeping by me. Nothing I can do to get out of here. But instead of worrying like that, I'll tell you, Brother Peter, I believe was walking by the grace of God, by the gift of, listen, God's given you a wonderful gift today. If you have faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, you can with Peter sleep in the midst of the most hard and difficult circumstances. And the Bible tells us that. It says it is vain for us to rise up early and to sit up late. What it's saying, it's vain for you to worry, because that worrying doesn't, what does it fix? Does my worrying help anything? Does it move anything? Does it fix anything? It'll give me ulcers. It'll make me sick physically. It'll cause your hair to fall out. What doesn't fall out can turn gray. It can cause you to feel old and look old and get old. But I'm telling you, it doesn't fix anything. But I'll tell you, trusting in the Lord gives you great peace. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Now, that's like saying in our word today, to have a pity party. You ever had a pity party? Have a pity party, call up a brother, they have a pity party with you. You get a whole crowd together in a church. I've seen churches sometimes come together and have a big pity party. Listen, our congregation and our meetings ought not be a pity party. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not trusting in us. I'm trusting in the Lord who's kept this little church since it was constituted in 1770, and kept the church it was constituted from before that time, all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ, when He put the church in this world and He said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means if we continue to look to Him, we don't have a reason to worry. We should be looking to Him and trusting in Him who's able to raise the dead. And if He's able to raise the dead, He can take care of you and He can take care of me. Not only can He, He will. And it is an insult to Him when Gary Ooch doesn't trust Him, because He's been too good for me and to me for me not to believe and trust Him. I believe Brother Peter remembered, I was in here before. If the Lord wills, He'll get me out. If not, I'll go with James. And either way, it's going to be all right with me. I think he was not upset about it. He wasn't concerned about it. The church was worried. They were praying. But they weren't just worried. They were praying. They were praying that the Lord would deliver him. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And when Herod would have brought him forth, he was sleeping between two soldiers, bound. But here he is sleeping. Oh, I think of that sleep. Oh, isn't that something? That old preacher sleeping. He was really worried about it. He wasn't sleeping away. I believe he's sleeping good, too. I believe he was at peace. The scripture here says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Listen, if you know the Lord loves you, you got every reason to sleep well. And if He loves you, it wasn't because you loved Him or did something for Him. It's because He loved you. He made that choice before the very foundation of the world. And you have been embraced in His love. There's nothing you did to get in it. There's nothing you can do to get out of it. He's done it for you. And whatever you face today, tomorrow, or your children or your family faces, we have a God we're depending upon who loved us so much He gave His only begotten Son. How would He not also, as Romans tells us, freely give us all things? If He gave us His own Son, how would He not also with Him freely give us all things? That is, all things that we need. Not everything you want. I know there's some people who say, I'll just ask God and He'll give it to me. He's got to, because He said He would. Listen, He won't give you what you don't need. I don't believe the church believed just because they prayed Peter was coming out of prison. As a matter of fact, when Peter came knocking on the door, they didn't believe it was Peter. I believe they were praying, Lord, keep our brother. Lord, if he dies like James, let him die a death of faithfulness. Lord, give him strength to stand strong and firm in the face of that opposition. May he stand for the name of Jesus. May he not do anything but stand for the Lord. Lord, protect him. Be with him. If he lives, be with him. If he dies, be with him, Lord, whatever way. See, we don't know when we pray for someone to get well that it's God's will they're going to get well, but we do know this. God is going to deliver them. He'll deliver them in the sense maybe of getting them out of the trouble. He can deliver them by giving them strength to stand up under the trouble. He can deliver them by taking the trouble completely away. Or He can deliver them by taking them out of all their troubles and carrying them home. Where the world said they were defeated in death, not so in the Lord. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because Jesus died and went to the grave and came forth victorious, we all have that sweet hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, if you're living in that hope, you're truly living. And if you're not, you're just putting in time. You're just existing. And it makes you face everything better. You mean to tell me Peter could have had a good night's sleep in the circumstances he was in? Listen, the Word is telling us that. And he slept. And while he was asleep, behold the angel, and behold, I love the word here, behold. It's something for you and me to stop and look at. It could have said, and the angel of the Lord came upon him. But it said, and behold. It says, look what happened. See what happened. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. That by the power, listen, they didn't turn on an electric light. It would have been dark in there. The light shined in that prison by the power of Almighty God. The angel came where he was, because the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. And they were sent as a messenger from God to deliver this preacher from his circumstances and his trials. Do you think God cannot do that today? My friends, I'm telling you, not only can He do that, He is doing it. He is doing it. Sometimes you and I have our ears so stopped up we can't hear His still small voice. Sometimes the world is so loud and we're listening to the wrong noises. But I'm saying to you, God is keeping His people every day, every hour, every moment. If we've gotten this far, it's by grace that we have gotten this far, and it'll be grace that carries us on. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. I'll tell you how good he was sleeping. He had to poke him. I know some people, when you poke, you better back up, because they come up swinging. You know, Peter wasn't like that. He smote him on the side. Think of the power of an angel. The power of an angel. He smote him on the side. And raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. How could that have happened? That doesn't sound... Some scientists would say that's impossible. Can't happen. And they'd have to examine the chains, you know, see if I can... I'll tell you what, the Lord works. The one who made matter has no trouble manipulating it. The one who created the heavens and the earth has no trouble. He has no trouble bringing it back together or causing... He is the one who is... You're talking about the laws of nature. He is the one who is the author of every law. He's the one who put the laws in place. The reason a rainbow is in the sky is because the Lord put it there as a covenant that He would never destroy this world again. By what He put those laws of physics in place. Gravity isn't just something that happened there to some. It's the work of Almighty God. He had no trouble causing the chains to fall off. Listen, and your problem, I don't care what it is today. I don't care how big it might seem. I don't care what disease it is. In Ephesians 3, He tells us He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Don't limit Him by thinking it's just too big for the Lord. Because nothing's too... He's the one who can raise the dead. Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me, because we're going out of here. We're not going to be in this. You're going to need a coat. We're going out. We're leaving this prison. You're not going to be in here. We're going out of here. And he went out and followed him and wist not. Now, how much did Peter have to do with this? Tell you what, he's just being led. He didn't even know for sure whether this is a dream or whether this is a vision or whether this is really happening. Somebody said, well, the angel and the Lord and Peter got himself out of the prison. Listen, Peter, he was being led by the Lord. The Lord sent the angel. The angel had come in there, and Peter didn't even know whether it was true, which was done by the angels. He thought he saw a vision. I'll tell you, it's wonderful how God works. And when they were past the first and the second ward, this first and second ward, it's important we understand they're not just sections, but they're watches. If you look at this word, you will also see this word translated in our King James Bible. You'll see it translated watch. Over in Luke, it'll tell us in the first watch or the second watch, where you're looking for the Lord, the master one's looking for him to return. It's that you're watching. These were those soldiers. Listen, it was a big thing to lose a prisoner. It cost them their life. They didn't want to lose him. There's 16 of them watching him. Don't you think Herod was going to, and he did hold them accountable for losing him, but they didn't have, listen, they were in a bad place. Because they were given a charge they weren't going to have the power and the ability to keep. Because when he went by the first ward, he got by one group of the watches. That didn't give him any problem. And then, you know, here comes the second ward. That wasn't no problem. I don't know how the angel did that. The Bible doesn't give it. It could have been. So, you know, you think about it. How did he go? Did he blind them? I don't know. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes we get to the end of it, we don't know how. Have you ever get through something, you go like, I don't know how I got out of that. That shouldn't have happened. That looked like a bad spot. I don't know. Have you ever been there? You don't know how you got there. You ever gone somewhere and been stopped along the way and wonder, oh, why am I having to be stopped? And then go down the road and there's some tragic occurrence and you find out if I hadn't have been stopped, I could have been right in there. And we sit there complaining so often about what the Lord's got in store and what he's done. He's watching over us, protecting us, and taking care of us, and we think, well, what is this that's hindering me? And actually, it's God's hand protecting you. I look at his handprint all over my life. I'm thankful that he hasn't let me just run everywhere I wanted to run and do everything I wanted to do and act like I wanted to act. And I'm sorry there have been times I disobeyed him and walked contrary to his will, but I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace that has protected me and kept me. I'll tell you, when they went through the first ward, ever how the Lord did that, the second watch, they came unto the iron gate. Oh, I'd have said, phew, here we're at the gate. What are we going to do now? And you know what happened at that gate? It just opened up. Not of its own accord, but of his own accord. The Lord that took him out of the prison opened up the gate. An iron gate. It was there to keep them from getting out. That leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, I believe he just sat there and he thought, this is something. We were singing that hymn last night, 26. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. One of the sisters asked, what is that word Ebenezer? Of course, me, like Peter sometimes, not knowing what to say and thinking I had to answer. Thought I'd give an answer that sounded like what I thought it ought to sound like, what I'd always thought about when I sang that hymn. Here I raise my Ebenezer. I always thought of a banner or a flag that I was making a stand. You know, here I'll raise my Ebenezer, that we'll stand on the like standing on the promises of the Lord. That sounded good, but it's not what the Bible says about it. We had another thought about it being the cornerstone. The cornerstone, that's a lot closer than what I was thinking. But I went back to the scripture over in 1 Samuel chapter 7. We see little prophet Samuel and the children of Israel in trouble because the Philistines. And you really to give the whole gist of 7, you got to read 1 through 6. And believe me, it takes some time. So, you know, take the time because it's worth it. And you read how the Lord was with the children of Israel and bringing them at times under judgment and under the domination of the Philistines because they had false gods that they raised up in Israel. And the sons of Eli had been disobedient and robbed and stole from the Lord's people. and judgment had come. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken away, and they put it up in the idol. Y'all remember that? When they put it up in there with the idols and put it in there with Dagon, and the Ark of the Covenant was with Dagon. They came in the next day, and Dagon's falling over on his face. That's how the gods of this world will do before our God. And so they propped it back up and thought it was going to be okay. And then when it came back in, not only had he fallen over, but his head's broken off and both hands are broken off. They go, oh, we got to get this thing out of here. And then the Lord struck all the people of Philistines. He struck them with emeralds, which like hemorrhoids, really. I don't mean to be plain about it, but that's what it was. It was a horrible disease. And a pestilence came on them, and many of them died. And so they took that ark and they said, we got to get that out of here. And they had five basic places that made up the five kind of kingdoms underneath the kingdom of the Philistines that they went to. And they started shifting that ark around from one to the other. And everywhere the ark went, they had trouble. Enough so they were willing to get it out of there. Finally, they said, we got to get this thing back home. And they put it on a cart, a new cart, and hooked it to two milk cows. Took the calves away from the cow. The calves away from the cows. And locked them up away. And hooked that to that new cart with nobody leading them. And those cows took it right back to Israel. Took it right back to the people of God. Can you imagine those old cows? Never, and the yoked up cows that had never been yoked up before. And they carried that new cart with the Ark of the Covenant. Of course, they had made five golden emeralds and five golden mice and put in there along with the card to show that we want to tell the God of Israel we're sorry. That's what they basically were saying. He said, what does that have to do with this? Listen, the children of Israel, every time the Philistines had come upon them, they'd lost. They'd lost in the battle. They would go with them to battle and they'd be wiped out. And the Philistines had just dominated them. And here Samuel said, if y'all will just remove these false gods, take them down and we'll pray, God will keep us and help us from the Philistines, and if we'll just trust the Lord, He will deliver us. In spite of everything they'd seen, there was really no reason to believe that would happen other than all that the Lord has shown them with the ark. And I'd like to go on with Eben. Got to get to Ebenezer. And when the Philistines heard about that, they said, we're going to go wipe them out, because he said we're going to go take them. And Samuel just prayed. And while he was praying, the Philistines came upon them. And it says the Lord thundered upon them. The Lord thundered upon them. Discomfited them. When you read about the Lord discomfiting, you don't want the Lord discomfiting you. You know, that seems like a strange word, but he messes up all your plans. When he discomfited an army, they didn't know whether they were coming or going. They were wiped, they were confused, and then the Israelites were able to overtake them and they won the battle. And there Samuel said, there's where the Ebenezer came, because he took a stone and he put this stone up as a reminder of them, and that Ebenezer means a stone of help, which means the Lord has been our help. That's what in other words, we wouldn't have made this without the Lord. You say, well, what does that mean for me? Well, listen, every time we sing, here I'll raise my Ebenezer, we ought to be saying we wouldn't have made it this far without the Lord. Can you raise an Ebenezer today and say you wouldn't have made it this far without the Lord? Has the Lord been your help? Shouldn't you say that? When you say that, it was a stone, a commemorative stone to remind them it was the Lord who helped us. He delivered them from the Philistines, and it wasn't they that delivered themselves. It was the Lord who delivered them. Listen, it's not us who delivered ourselves. It's the Lord who's delivered us. And we need to raise, here I'll raise my Ebenezer. That's why the hymn writer said, hither by thy help I come. In other words, I wouldn't even be here without the help of the Lord. And Peter here raises an Ebenezer. Listen what he said. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me. In other words, I didn't get out of that prison on my own. I'm going to raise an Ebenezer. I don't believe I've done it. If I ever have preached the gospel, it's by his help we've been able to do that. If I've ever been able to enjoy any of the blessings of God, and I believe I've enjoyed many of them, it's by his help that I've been able to do that. That's why we need to come every time. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer. It was a stone that was to remind. They call that stone Ebenezer, stone of help. It wasn't a stone. It was just a reminder of who their help is. And our help is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. I wonder all of them didn't come. I'll tell you, I believe one was listening. Little sister Rhoda, I believe she was waiting. Praying, waiting. And when he knocked on the door, and it says a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, listen, she listened and she heard. She didn't see Peter, but she heard his voice. She didn't go like, "Oh, I can't be Peter because he's in jail." She said, "I believe she was expecting to hear his voice." She knew Peter's voice. She opened not the gate for. Did she believe when she heard his voice? She said, "For gladness." Listen, she got happy. Oh, I got to go tell everybody. Peter's at the door. Lord's answered our prayer. Peter's at the door. And she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." Wouldn't you think the whole church would be happy about that? Here Peter's at the gate. Wouldn't you think that the faith they would have? And I don't believe that they didn't have any faith. I believe they anticipated. Have you ever prayed thinking the Lord was going to do it this way, but God saw fit to do it another way? And I don't think they had a clue the way the Lord intended to do this. They didn't think those, and I'm not saying they even limited, I'm not going as far as to say they limited God. They might have, but I'm not saying that they did. I know that, I believe that little sister though had something special going on. We got her name, brethren. We have her name. There's a Rhoda mentioned in the Bible. You know, there are a lot of characters that were in the Bible that you never get their name. I believe there's a little sister Rhoda in heaven that was praying for the deliverance of Peter and was waiting for him to knock on the door. And when he knocked on the door, she heard him. And she didn't doubt, she believed, because she was trusting that God was going to deliver him. And when the Lord, you said, well, would one little Rhoda praying cause that to happen? Even if the church was in disobedience and rebellion, does one prayer make a difference? Didn't the prayer of Elijah, we talked about that recently, didn't that make a difference? Do you think your prayer is not as important to the Lord? Is he different than us? Doesn't the Bible say he's like unto us? A man of like passions, like unto us. But the effectual fervent of prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And a little sister Rhoda, praying availeth much. They said, "Thou art mad." But she, notice this, she didn't go, she hadn't seen him. You know what I'd have thought it was, maybe I'm going to go check again. Maybe I'm mistaken. Didn't say she went and checked again. She'd heard his voice. She had faith that he was going to be delivered. She heard his voice. She hadn't seen him. But she heard his voice. I heard him. It's Peter. He's at the door. She kept telling him, "He's at the door. Peter's at the door." They said, you're mad. You're mad. She's raising her Ebenezer too. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. I like that too. Brother Peter just kept on knocking. They'll answer eventually. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Everybody but Rhoda, she wasn't astonished. She done said it's Peter. I done told you all the time, it's Peter. They were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace. Get this, here he raises his Ebenezer again. "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. It wasn't me and the Lord got me out of there. Didn't say how smart I was sneaking through the jail, getting around all of those, how we did this. No, it was all about what the Lord did for me. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. Can you imagine what they thought? What in the world's happened? And what was become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And all you have to do is continue to read, and you'll find there was no good end that came to old Herod. When a man lifts himself up and makes himself to be God, he's in trouble. There is but one God. That's our God. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I pray the Lord will just continue to bless us here. Bless our fellowship. Bless our church. Pray for one another as the scripture has taught us to do. The right, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And every time we get that help from the Lord, let's not forget that hymn. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Love you, my brother.